My name is Aram, and welcome to God's Fall. Before we get started this week, we have an announcement. The Rise of the Demigods Kickstarter has been active for 6 days, and we are already 135% funded. We have hit our first stretch goal and are quickly rising to the next, so now is a perfect time to reserve your copy of the next chapter of the God's Fall story. Rise takes place just before the breaking of the world, when the old gods sought to bolster their claim on Khal'gun by siring demigod offspring to rule it. Their divine children laid waste to whole continents in their name, and many mortals of the realms grew to despise them. Coalitions were formed and armies marched upon their divine creators, slaughtering many of the demigods and threatening the rule of the gods themselves. As the people's faith waned, so did the gods' power. Desperate to halt this erosion, the gods called a council to deal with the demigod issue once and for all. It was decreed that each god was allowed to claim 5 demigod offspring. Those who are born unclaimed must prove their worth through training and trials in the divine halls and magical valleys of the Temple of Udea. Our first official God's Fall adventure, Spark of Divinity, is the first in a series designed for young demigods who are just discovering their powers in a world grown hostile to godly whims. Inquisitors from the Temple of Udea scoured the land in search of the unclaimed, children of gods who abandoned them and who have no knowledge of their birthright, or those illegally sired by a pair of demigod parents. The PDF version of the book will include full audio tracks with original music, sound effects, and voice acting talent from the Chicago area, so you can bring our production magic right to your gaming table. We will also be launching a new God's Fall live stream of the same name, Rise of the Demigods, and you can get updates about that show by following us on Twitter at DemigodsFall. For those of you who missed out on the first Kickstarter, we will also be offering a second print run of the God's Fall World Book and a discount if you pick up both books. So thank you all very much for your continued support of God's Fall. I cannot wait to show you all what we've been planning next. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get back to the show. Last time, Haldir and Ariska fought the Arisen God of Death and her undying orc lieutenant, Thrall Mok. After the battle, Haldir returned to his quarters and focused his mind in an effort to connect with his new source of divine power. He heard many voices, all iterations of himself from different times and alternate realities. And then he heard another voice, that of a young girl.
My name is Michael. I play Zion Preeton, a 6th-level human sorcerer.
My name's Steven, and I play Torvik Wildtongue, a level 6 paladin dwarf.
My name's Kelly, and I play Rena Falabelle, a 6th-level Wild Elf Ranger.
My name is Doug, and I play Doro Knott, the level 6 Halfling Rogue.
My name is Serena, and I play Caitlin Wainwright, a level 6 Human Rogue.
My name is Carlos, and I play Para Rivers, a 6th-level Human Cleric.
My name is Joe, and I play Lord Haldir Loran, the 6th-level High Elf Warlock.
Who's there?
Did I imagine you?
You still can't see each other yet. Your voices are in front of each other. You're moving towards each other, but you can't quite see each other yet.
Who are you?
Are you real? I'm walking towards the voice, and my footsteps are light. They don't make that reverberating, echoing sound. They make kind of like a softer sound as I walk further.
I'm standing still at this point.
In front of you, you can start to see something, and then all of a sudden, there's a girl. 13, 14, 15 years old, not quite sure. Humans, it's always difficult to age them. And she's just kind of walking towards you, wide-eyed, maybe a little scared. And you see in front of you this elven prince, regal, powerful, gorgeous, and just standing there with his hand outstretched and kind of a crackling green energy dancing between his fingers.
I see you. Are you lost?
As far as I'm aware, this is happening only within my own mind, right?
Right, as far as you're concerned,
so somebody's, yeah. Somebody else, like another entity of some kind, is intruding on my brain space. This is my head.
Oh.
Are you lost?
Perhaps. Well, I've been searching. I've been looking around, and I found this space, and I'm not sure where I am, so maybe I'm lost.
Just imagine like him like looking around a dark room, beanbag chair that's almost like empty. Pabst Blue Ribbon on the floor. Whatever.
There's just a black wall and a poster that's also black on the black wall.
And a black light on that poster that's black.
Yeah, who are you?
Oh, I can't tell you my name. I'm not allowed to do that. But I'm in your mind, so who are you?
If you tell me my name...
I'll tell you your name. I'll tell you your name.
If you tell me your name...
Wait. Let's start over.
If you tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
Caitlin looks at him. She's in the dream space, so she feels a little more confident. Okay. Yes. We'll count to three?
Yes.
One.
Two.
Three.
Haldir.
Caitlin. Oh. Nice to meet you, Haldir.
Yes, it is.
Hold on. You could hear, like, the cello.
Yeah.
It's just like fades, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
My next question is probably the more important. How?
Wait, how what?
You are in my mind.
I'm in all minds.
Caitlin tends to be accidentally terrifying all the time.
Then perhaps the question of who are you was the wrong one. What are you?
Same as you, I think. I think we're connected. I think we're all connected.
And what do you think I am?
A godling?
I'm not going to tell her otherwise.
If someone asks you if you're a godling,
you say yes.
Who else are you connected to?
I told you, everyone. I'm connected everywhere and nowhere and in between and the spaces under and above and below and... Why is your mind so dark? There's nothing in here.
Is this not how all minds are?
No. Minds are different. Minds have... their own rhythm. Some have music. Some are plain, but not this. Not nothing.
I had a rough childhood.
Oh.
No, don't say that. No.
It's honest.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Who are you connected to?
Why do you ask that?
Well, you asked it of me.
You told me you were connected. You said you were connected to all of us.
But someone is connected to you.
Yes. There is one other godling that I have ever met, and I greatly desire to meet more. Have you met others?
Others like us?
Yes.
Yes. I'm trying to help us survive and to stop it. Do you want to help?
I would like nothing more than to help.
That's wonderful. I don't know where you are.
I don't know where you are.
I'm everywhere.
You do not have a... I'm sorry, I don't understand. Do you have a body?
Kind, yes.
Where is that?
I'm on a ship.
I am also on a ship.
Where are you headed?
To a place.
She just like looks at you and just nods. We just left a place called Capania. If you wanted to meet us there, or towards there? I'm not sure. They don't share a lot with me.
I would like to meet you there, but I have to check with my friends first. I'm sorry. I'm sure you understand. You said you have friends yourself.
Yes, I have to check with my friends too. Maybe I told you too much.
I'm glad that you told me. Can we speak again?
Yes, I'd like that.
Tomorrow.
I'll try. I got sucked in. But if you do exactly what you did today, tomorrow, I can try.
Before you leave, tell me, have you found any others?
They're all around us. And I leave.
All right, so it shatters all around you and you're ripped from it and boom, you simply appear about like 3 feet above Steelbeard's deck and then fall to the ground and smack into the deck.
Oh, she can't teleport.
Is my physical body there?
This is different.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, oh. Your physical body went through the dream space and appeared on Steelbeard's deck.
What?
Whoa. Is anybody around me? Am I by myself?
Who would be on the deck in the evening? You would be, right?
Yep,
you see Caitlin appear and fall 3 feet and slam into the deck.
She slams into the deck?
Oh, yeah, like, bam.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
All right, yeah. Well, it's like a run, slide next to her and be like, are you okay?
What? Where? Yes?
It's the ship.
I'm not supposed to be here.
Where are you supposed to be?
Touch my hand. I'm not going to take you anywhere.
Okay. Just straight hand.
Okay, I'm really here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really here. Why am I here?
Where were you before?
I saw Cyrena. I was with Cyrena on her ship. I was just sleeping, and Doro... Oh, Doro's going to be so worried. Doro's going to be so worried about me. Oh, goodness.
It's okay. Don't panic. It's all right.
Okay.
You have ways to talk to him. It's all right.
Yeah. I met a man. What? No.
Tilted.
Young lady.
There was a person in the black, in the dark, and he was there, and he didn't know why, and maybe he can... Where's Zion?
Zion? I think he's asleep.
He should hear this as well.
So you guys go run down to their room.
Yeah.
And bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
All right.
Bam, bam, bam.
You hate... being woken up at night. It is the worst for you. You wake up groggy and exhausted.
Zion.
Para puts a pillow over his head, and he's like elbowing Zion. Do not know your name.
You're so angry.
Caitlin! You're back. Where's Doro?
Doro didn't make me here.
What?
He's on Cyrena's ship.
I'm beyond asking how
right.
at this point. But
right.
Okay, so Doro is on
Cyrena's ship. She's looking for gauntlets.
Okay, we knew
she
about this.
She has a ring.
Okay. Let me look at the map. So the last we saw... in the visions. Okay, so the gauntlets would be here in Wessel. So you think you were near here?
Yes.
Okay. Steelbeard.
Sorry. I was napping. My apology.
Set a course for here. I pull up the map and show it to his face.
I can do that. And kind of furrows his brow, and you feel the wind shift and the sails kind of grow. And he just expands a little larger, and the sails get a little taller and larger, and the speed picks up, and he's heading due west.
All right, but do try to avoid this area here. And I point to, like, the circle around Ani. I don't want to run into the Kadarian blockade.
I can do that.
Okay, so what happened?
I showed her what Doro and Perrin I saw, and there's a king, the one that invents, that has two inside of him, made, he's the bad Thorak Stone Burner.
Oh, God, the king of Gal-Hadir?
Yes.
He's the double god?
He's the consumer.
Oh, God.
She just, like, looks at you, wide-eyed.
You just scared the fuck out of me. Okay. Consumer.
I mean, I shouldn't be here. My body's here. My mind was only supposed to go, but I'm here. I was in a black, dark void.
The man. You said you met a man.
Yes. Yes, I met a man.
What kind of man?
He was tall and adorned with a fur. Very nice to me. He was a high elf. He didn't know what the dark place was, and he told me to meet him again and that he could maybe help us. And I believe him.
Did you get his name?
Haldir. He said he was connected to others, but that's all I know. He had to speak with the others in order to know if he can help us, so maybe he won't.
Was he a godling?
I think so. I'm not sure. He reached out and found me, so perhaps.
We could use all the help we can get, certainly. Well, I would say yes, speak to him again when next you can. Stupid me.
All of us are sitting here, like, shaking our heads. Yeah. Oh, no. Don't go meet the strange man.
The audience is going to be screaming because she just barely got out of there, and they're all, thank God. And then Zion's like, yeah, go right back.
Yeah. Yeah, go talk to him again. Sounds great.
Do you want help? I can help you get back there.
Well, strangely enough, your tale here has put my mind somewhat at ease. Doro's still fine, and Cyrena's still fine, and we know how to find them, so
yeah.
We're headed there. Now, out of character, remind me, when you went to the time and fate thing, when was that?
That was right before they left.
Right.
Do I know about that or no?
No. There's no anything about that yet.
Kate hasn't mentioned it.
Would you have told Zion about meeting the gods of time and fate? Well, meeting the god of fate, at least.
Sort of.
Gotcha.
So, she does, Doro and I, we formed a bridge inside the dream world.
I didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either. And we ended up at this place, this beautiful cathedral, and there was a woman there, and the god of fate, and she had found a way to figure out what happens beyond the great death.
Wow. And she seemed friendly or hostile?
Friendly. She helped us. She helped us find Cyrena. She put us on the ship.
Well, that's good. Maybe she'll be an ally.
I hope so. She tells Zion most of her experience, but she absolutely leaves out the vision she saw with
Kadaria
and the inventions that haven't existed yet.
So you said you tell most of. Does that mean you also tell about? I'm not putting ideas in your head, so
yeah.
You should do your thing.
Yeah.
But do you mention that she had a bob haircut and that she was god of time?
Yes, yes. I explain that she was split.
We've run into this god of time before. We saw a vision of her at Orym's temple before you joined us, and she was atop the union. You also weren't there for it. But she was atop the union, I don't know, 100 years ago or so, before the gods' war, holding this hoop. I don't know, it was glowing with energy.
Yeah.
It was like a big ring.
That's what she had. She had that big ring.
She still has it?
It's hers.
Okay, well, she was with three other people. Were there three other people there?
No.
While they're having this conversation, yeah. It's like right outside the door. Right. Like all that stuff's happening. Maybe take it back. Maybe take it back a couple minutes. Yeah. But like, Para just like takes the pillow off his head, grabs his blanket and the pillow under his arm, and starts to like walk out the door, like a little bit past Zion. And Zion's like, where are you going? And Para's just like under his breath, just like, making my own bridge to the dream world.
That's my blanket.
This is like dragging on the floor.
We had another vision of her. We saw her again at Aunt Rosiah's brothel. It was a place in Brennus. But it was near where I saw you as, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm a captive of the Kadarians.
And her eyes, like, kind of glint, like she hasn't thought about that in a while.
I don't know what she was doing there, why she was there, but she seemed to have been tracking us for some reason, but never, ever actually spoke to us.
She's trying to find the ones that make it through. Make it through the barrier. The barrier beyond the Great Death. The world's gonna end, Zion.
So let's say that, Caitlin, what would you be doing on the ship at night? Like, let's say it's about 11 p.m.
11 p.m. at night. I would be settling down. Because owlbears, are they nocturnal or diurnal?
I would assume because they're owlbears, they are nocturnal. Yeah.
And do they? Okay, so I think I would just be feeding the owlbears.
It's weird.
Roam around.
Yeah, I mean, like between you and Rena being, you know, good watchers of the owlbears, and the rest of the team being kind of okay watchers, and then even Oinkers will pitch in once in a while. Like, if the owlbears get rowdy, Oinkers will just turn into a larger owlbear and kind of settle them down like Mama Owlbear, right?
Oh, yeah.
So between all of them, you kind of got them under control. So sure, it's a ship. They just kind of wander around.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I only me would ask those questions.
It's perfect.
Do they have a pen? Right. Are they in a pen?
Have we named their water bowls? It's very important.
It's very important. So I would be feeding them and hanging out with them.
Okay, so let's say that they've gone up to the deck of the ship. And Steelbeard is able to basically transform any part of himself. And one thing he can do that you haven't seen before that honestly he just figured out is that he can forge his vines into a shape that's roughly humanoid and roughly elvish. And then that can like walk around the ship and perform tasks, right? So as you bring the owlbears up, a Steelbeard's like, Caitlin, good evening.
Hi, Steelbeard.
Hello, little owlbears. Are they hungry?
They're starving. They're doing the chirping thing that they do when they're really hungry.
Just like birds. One moment, I have an idea. And you see these vines come out from the deck and down from the sails and form this vaguely humanoid thing. And it salutes Steelbeard, turns, walks over to the railing, and takes some of the sail and casts it into the water as a net. And holds it as Steelbeard is going on, and then pulls back up onto the deck a whole thing of fish. It just splashes down, and there's like a dozen fish in there. And the owlbears don't, I mean, they're good. They're not well trained, though. So the second they see fish, they just dive on them, and they're just shredding them.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you. Wow.
You are welcome, my friend. We're going to cut to you real quick. It's 11 p.m., we said, right?
Yes.
And you have not been able to sleep. You know, the thoughts of your mom have really been bothering you. They've always been there, but it's been building and building. The longer you've gone without any contact with your family, you've worried more and more about her. So what are you going to do?
Well, I don't want to wake up Para. He's sleeping, and he's not a good night person. Once he's out, he's out. So I sort of fold the sheets away and step out of bed because I can't sleep right now. And I decide to walk up and at least look at the stars, I guess, the same stars that my family would see.
Excellent. So you walk out of your room, quietly close the door so you don't wake up Para, walk out onto the deck, and immediately step into a pile of entrails.
Ah, God, what is this?
Hi, Zion.
Hi, Caitlin. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just feeding the owlbears.
Oh, that's good.
Just in blood and just bones are snapping and claws are rending flesh in this ball of, like, blood and fur on the deck right now.
And Caitlin is just kind of scooting the fish that happened to, like, flop her way towards them, just unfazed by their just rending of that.
Zion is secretly very glad that other people have taken this upon themselves to care about, because...
I am not here to be a pet sitter.
I'm not
sitter.
Here to be a pet sitter. I'm not here to mess with fish offal. Right. So,
being a god should remove such petty tasks from my life.
I can't wait till I don't have to eat anymore, right? You know, so...
You look... Where are you awake?
I couldn't sleep. I'm sorry. I don't even mean to unload all this onto you. I just...
You can tell me. You don't have to keep it in.
Well, I guess... I mean, we've gone through about the same thing, but I just... I miss my mom. That's all.
Oh.
I was thinking about her. I mean, you didn't... I don't know if you...
She was at the PTA.
Right.
Sure.
I remember her. Hey, I have an idea.
What?
And Caitlin grabs his hand and takes him to the treehouse.
You take his hand and you're just kind of beaming us, you know, like, I got this,
yeah,
right?
I know what to do.
You both fall sideways. And instead of hitting the deck, you pass through the deck and then spin back up until you're standing upside down. But suddenly realize you're actually right side up.
What is this?
And you're in a treehouse, and it's in the middle of the ocean. The waves are quietly lapping by. The moon is high in the sky above you. There's a little braided rug underneath, and Caitlin's done all these watercolor paintings that are just pasted all over the wall inside.
This is what Rena was talking about.
Yeah, I made it. I made it for me and for everybody else. It's a safe place, and we can train together. Or if you wanted to see her, you can.
Really?
If you wanted, only if you wanted.
I mean, so it's like a dream, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to thank you. But yes, I'd like to see her.
Okay. So Caitlin kind of looks at Zion, and she can identify with what he's feeling, the weight that he's carrying, and she looks out the window of the treehouse, and it's like the vastness of the ocean, and she sighs and starts creating.
As soon as you do that, the wall of the treehouse vanishes, the one right across from the open doorway to the ocean, right? It just vanishes, and then beyond it is simply everything you're creating that starts filling in step by step. So what are you creating?
I'm creating Kadar.
Thank you.
create this vast rolling bluegrass plains, and they kind of rise right towards the ocean in this stout stone city surrounded by large walls and this huge ramp that travels the length of the entire city to a castle with, again, thick, simple stone walls that rises high above the entire city. And these long, long docks, also made of stone, that extend out into their port. Kadarian architecture is very purposeful. There's no frilly things or wrought iron decorations or statues or embellishments. It's just purposeful, well-built stonework. And you guys appear in the grassy field just outside the city.
This is amazing.
Yeah. It's weird being here.
I didn't know I missed it.
Where would you like to go?
Home?
Describe home.
We had gardens, and there were just... Well, it was well built, it was nice, it was filled with green. I remember so much green. My mother would always be watering the plants, and she'd call me in for dinner. And in the end, it was nice when my father was out working, hopefully in some other town. My brothers had graduated and gone on to the military. Only my brother Foja was around, and we would train. And he was nice to me, until he had to chase me. But I don't want to think about that. I just want to think about my mother. And when she would call me to dinner.
So, as Caitlin takes all of this in, I imagine them walking as they're speaking and the grass getting a little greener and flowers blooming a little bit around them, leading them to the home that he described.
A pathway starts forming beneath their feet, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then fountains just kind of bubble up and form all around you, and then eventually you simply just are in a garden.
Yes.
It's my house. Wow. I can't believe we're here.
And then you hear a bell. And it's the same bell your mother always rung for dinner. This little wind chime she had out by her deck. She would just kind of lean out and just shake it a bit, and that's how you knew it was time to eat.
Okay, well, I run over that in that direction.
And your mom is there, and she's standing in a Kadarian wool overcoat. It's a little chilly, but she just kind of wrapped it around her because she just got out of bed. Your mother loved to sleep in on weekends. It was the one little luxury she allowed herself. And she has breakfast laid out, and she's smiling, and her hair is kind of being blown in the wind. She usually, again, keeps it up and very, very straight, but it's her morning. And she's like, come, hurry in.
Perhaps inappropriately in the situation, I burst out into tears. Mom!
Well, it's not the first time your mom's seen you cry, so.
I love you so much.
Come here, my dear.
I missed you so much.
My dear, you were just outside in the garden. Listen, I will always be here. I will always be here. I will never, ever leave you, my child. And she hugs you. Come now, come inside. You're going to be just fine. And then, as she says that, her face glitches. And it's like, there's like a weird, like if they understood what technology looks like, there's this weird, like kind of like there's a glitch in the matrix. And it glitches again, and her voice kind of drops, and she starts repeating the same words over and over, and you're feeling this incredible amount of static crackling all around you. And then suddenly, it's like your mom stepped through herself, and she grabs you by the side of the face. She's like, Zion, you must listen to me. You are in incredible danger. A force has been sent against you, and you must not let them And then... And the whole thing starts to crackle and fall apart around you.
Caitlin!
To roll a wisdom save.
16.
You are barely holding on to this reality.
What's happening?
I don't know. Something came in. Someone's trying to reach you. That's not me.
There can't be another god of dreams. What is this?
They're hunting
Who?
You.
Who?
Roll again.
7, or 8, 9.
You all are blasted out of this dream and thrown against the walls of the ship. And you both take 4 points of psychic damage.
What was that?
I don't know. Was it... Who did it look like? Who?
That was my mother.
Was it your mom? Maybe it was your mom.
I know that she had some magic, something that she was hiding from my father. I know that she was part of some strange group, but I don't know anything other than that.
Other than you're in danger.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that would happen. I thought it was just going to be a wish fulfillment, you know?
Yeah, I did too, and I felt myself holding you, and I felt that, and then something shot through. So,
did you hear anything else?
It just sounded like fuzzy, like it's hard to explain. Like I saw the clear picture, and then just fuzzy.
Well, thank you for that, and maybe we'll try again tomorrow.
Okay.
That vine creature that Steelbeard had created earlier is now kind of like over to you guys, and he's brought over 2 little leaf blankets that he kind of wraps around your shoulders, and he kind of the thing can't really express emotion. It's just a pile of vines,
yeah.
But it still kind of looks concerned and then walks off.
How about you go to bed now? I walk you to your room? I want to make sure you get a good sleep.
Let's be quiet, though. Don't want to wake up Para.
Okay.
So we walk over to my room, and I lay next to Para. Can you put me under?
Mm-hmm. And so I gently place my hands on his head, and I want to make sure that he has good and peaceful dreams.
Thank you for joining us for episode 80, Hope is a Waking Dream. For my DM's notes on this episode, behind-the-scenes videos, and a ton of other bonus content, head over to patreon.com/Vardian. Rise of the Demigods has passed our first 2 stretch goals, which means all Kickstarter backers will receive a print-ready bonus map pack, with and without grids, along with PNG files that are perfect for use with Roll20. You'll also get bonus downloads of every single one of our original characters drawn by the amazing Ben Sagas. God's Fall is recorded in Washington, D.C. and produced in the city of Chicago. Writing and editing was done by myself, Aram Vartian. We'll see you next time in the world of the 5 Kingdoms. This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.